It's RJ here from the Ringside Rant. Have you guys ever wanted to start a podcast? You didn't have the time or the money to do so, but if you head over to anchor.fm right now and set up your free account, you can start podcasting right now. You can record, you can edit right from your computer, your phone, wherever you may be. Upload it right to the platform and have it distributed to Spotify, to Apple, to Google, wherever you want your podcast, it'll be there. It's all right there in one easy platform. Thanks to our friends over at Anchor.
It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ!
Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not-so-good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as Full Press Coverage, Visionaries Global Media, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_RingsideRant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is the man that continues to make homemade Christmas presents because he has that big of a heart. He's the one. He's the only. Styling a profile in his Nike pink collared golf shirt. JD, Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
Pink is my favorite color. You know that. Pink is my favorite color.
I figured as much, and we're getting into
that. I mean, come on. Pink and black specifically, but you
right.
Know.
But there's not too many people that can rock pink as a color.
Oh, I look fucking fantastic in pink.
I actually have a golf shirt that is more black, but it has like pink and white and gray stripes on it. It's like my dress shirt or something now because I don't get dressed up that often. So, as you can obviously tell. So,
Going on, RJ? Good week. We got all the Thanksgiving festivities out of the way. Everyone got stuffed up. And I know I did. I smoked me a turkey here at the house one day just to, you know, fuck around. And
yeah,
I ate half of it.
Yeah, you sent me a picture that I actually ended up showing to my father-in-law, and he was always the like master of the grill, that kind of guy.
So, yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. He smoked it for like, what would you smoke for it? Like 8 hours?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything was good seeing the family. It was good. You know what the best part of the weekend was though, RJ?
The Bills won.
The Bengals played like they got to play on the field by themselves. It was fucking awesome. Did you watch it? There was no other team on the field. It was just the Bengals, and they just did what they wanted to do.
Well,
an exhibition.
Allegedly, the Pittsburgh Steelers showed up. Well, sort of.
They were there? I don't even remember them on the field.
It
there.
Was a big blur, I think. It was more of like
it was a Big Ben blur is what it was.
Yeah, because he was getting knocked down so many goddamn times.
Oh, that one time he fell forward, like – there was just someone laying on the ground and he just fell over him. It looked like the Life Alert commercial. Like someone needed to save his.
He's getting that old though, man. If you think about it, there's nobody who else is left in the league since he was drafted in that draft class. Cause Eli's gone. Rivers is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
whatever. See you, Ben. But now the Bengals have beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for the third time in a row. The first time since 1990, we have pulled off such a feat. And now We got another home game against
San Diego or LA.
Los Angeles Chargers. How dare you call them the San Diego Chargers? The Los Angeles Chargers will come to the jungle on Sunday, where my brother, my father, and myself will be there to help the Bengals defend the jungle. Who they think gonna beat them Bengals? Nobody. And especially not the fucking Chargers. And definitely not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, there goes our audience in the city of Los Angeles and the city of Pittsburgh. But
we're going to lose Polly Bromwell. I don't think he listens anyway, so we're safe.
Yeah. He's too busy anymore. Yeah, right.
Thank God he doesn't live in the city. Then I probably couldn't be friends with him.
Well, right. That would be a given. But do you guys got the same seats as last time?
No.
You were in a box last time.
I had club seats last time.
Right.
And then this time, me and my dad and my brother are heading to the south side of the stadium down there on the riverside where it gets a little crazy. So hopefully it'll be fun.
Yeah. I know Bills are playing Monday night against New England. So that's it here in, well, not here, but in Buffalo. So it's going to be a fairly interesting game. I'll tell you that much. It sucks because I got to work the 12:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. shift on Tuesday. So I can't, it's either I do one of two things. I've done it before. I've done them both ways where I can go to sleep at like 8 o'clock, wake up to be in the office by 1:45 or whatever. Or I just say, hey, I'll take a nap when I get home on Monday and just stay up and watch the game, which it is what it is. I'm done by 10. So I get a day and a half off. So, but
We were kind of really worried because my dad has to wake up very early on Monday morning to go to work.
Yeah.
Like around 3:30 or something like that. So he has to go to bed relatively early. And we thought the game was going to be flexed to the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And luckily they picked the Broncos and Chiefs. So thank you, Kansas City. Now my dad can go.
There you go. That's all that matters. But one place that we are definitely going this week, Justin, is we're starting our – it's more of a scheduling change, not more of a format change. We're staying with the same format that you guys have been listening to us rant about for the last, 6-7 months, however long it's been. But we are basically going to be doing a specific promotion for the whole month. So this month we're going to be doing WCW in December of 97.
It'll just kind of be a random year and month. Each month we will just switch it up and do something else. So like we said, this month is WCW 97. So we will do 3 weeks of Nitro?
And then Starrcade 97.
And then the last week will be Starrcade 97. So we will try to do like the build-ups to a pay-per-view each month, and then we will switch it the next month to something else.
Right.
And hopefully you guys will like it. I think it's a good idea. I think it's fun. It gives you a snapshot of the promotion in a certain time period in wrestling history. So I think it'll be a fun thing to do. And I'm really excited to start off with some WCW.
Yeah. And like I said, we're definitely getting into the hot time frame there here in 97. But one guy who's also very hot in 97 was Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
Justin, so we're coming to you from December 1st, 1997, from the Civic Coliseum in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are running. I'm going to run down the champions that are current right now here in WCW 97. Your WCW World Heavyweight Champion is Hollywood Hogan. He won it on the 9th of August. The U.S. champion is Kurt Hennig. Won it on September 15th of 97. The World Tag Team Champions are Rick and Scott Steiner. Won it on October 13th of this year. Television Champions, Perry Saturn. He won it on the 3rd of November. Cruiserweight is Eddie Guerrero, and he won it on the 10th of November. So it's a very, very strong group of champions, Justin. If that's one thing that WCW had this time was the depth, and they knew how to use it. They knew that, they'd definitely start with their cruiserweights to lead off. And they even had, I don't want to call it comical, but they were starting off doing this whole Larry Zbyszko and Eric Bischoff storyline leading up to Starrcade here at the end of the month. And Tony even mentions that it's going to be Larry versus Eric at Starrcade after the last 2 weeks Nitro. But Eric then comes out and recants it and says, no way. And it's a whole kind of kerfuffle kind of thing leaning into it, even though a lot of people, you know, even at this time, could just kind of figure that it was going to happen because the stipulation would then later on, we'll get into it the coming weeks, is Larry really wants to get it at Scott Hall. And they're really playing that up, and they're really trying to say, insinuate that this is really going to happen. And at this time, I think Zbyszko is around the same age as Hogan, and Hogan's in his 40s at this time.
I think Zbyszko is like 48 or something like that.
Yeah, he's like late 40s.
We could be wrong. I don't know. For some reason, I think I remember that. But anyways, if people, you know, maybe to some of our younger fans that weren't around or watching at the time, you don't really know how – I think it's not talked about enough how over Larry Zbyszko was. I mean, to the fans, they loved him. They always chanted him, you know, at the beginning. He always had to give his little thing, and they were behind him for sure. And so that was why this was a good idea to turn him into an angle with Bischoff. I liked it.
Well, but the thing, the one thing that WCW always stayed true to was that old school wrestling feel. And that's what you really got from Larry Zbyszko, because you get to see his old territorial days when he was, you know, AWA. He was up there in the Midwest, down south, old school NWA.
Mm-hmm. AWA.
And AWA, like I said, he was more synonymous with the AWA, like him, Bockwinkel. Mm-hmm. Gagne, they're predominantly up there in the AWA, the Minnesotas, the
Michigan. What he's mainly known for is his feud. At least if you'd ask him, he'd say his feud with Bruno Sammartino,
right,
in Madison Square Garden,
right. Because if I were to ever wrestle, I would say I wrestled Bruno in Madison Square Garden every chance I got.
Yeah.
Because that was just so monumental at that time when he was in his heyday. But we mentioned, too, that, you know, this Nitro starts off with another Cruiserweight match. We got Rey Mysterio Jr. taking on Juventud Guerrera. They're still playing up this feud with Eddie and Bray. Eddie, like I said, is the Cruiserweight champion. They're still playing this up, man. And do you think at this time that the Cruiserweight division was pretty much, I'd say, a three horse race as far as between Mysterio, Eddie, and Malenko?
And Jericho?
Oh, and Jericho, that's true.
I mean, there's just a lot of great guys in there. Hoovy. I mean, there's a lot of great.
But I mean, really, guys that you're at that time in 97. But more of these are the guys that we're going to build the company.
Well, they
around
are building. They
the
are
Cruiserweight
building.
Division.
They're right. Building Hoovy here because he would be the champion, 98 at some point,
right.
I believe. So it's a good mix of talent. That's all there is to it.
And Jesus Christ, everybody would be Cruiserweight champion.
Well, I mean, honestly, to me, that belt was one of the – it was probably the second most important belt.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what it meant to the fans, because we were seeing this wrestling every night. To us, that belt meant more than fucking Steve McMichaels got the U.S. title or, you know, whatever, whoever's got the TV title. You know, Rick Martel crawls out of bed and all of a sudden he's the TV title. It's like, what? Where the hell did that come from? But I just felt like the Cruiserweight was you know, was a pretty prestigious belt to win still here at this time.
Yeah. But I also think you have to look at it on the business side too of it, because you're in the war, the Monday Night Wars, that is, here in 97. And I'm not speaking for Eric by any means, but you got to think of it as the business side of it, because fans aren't going to want to see the same guy holding the title day in and day out, week in and week out. Your Eddies, your Rays, your Deans, your Jerichos. You're going to want to see a guy like a Juventud Guerrero win it. You're going to want to see a guy like Psychosis win it, or La Parca, or somebody like that. And plus with that, though, you also have to take into account all the different nationalities in the cruiserweight division. Mm-hmm. You're going to get different. Oh, yeah. You're going to get different views from different countries. And you're in that war for the ratings. Shit, this is where you go, man. And everybody wants to crap on Eric, and I'll stick up for him, even though he buried me over the fucking Starcade and Halloween Havoc thing. But that's fine. Thanks to Moosadon for that. But everybody wants to crap on him over that. But it's brilliant, because you're getting these different countries to tune in to watch. And the ratings go up, because you want to get those different parts of the country to watch. And I think, and like I said, and we'll move on to the next couple of matches after this, but I think having Mike Tenay at the announce table too was fantastic during this time, during the cruiserweight matches.
Well, but here's the thing. Tenay got replaced during this match by Eddie. If you guys are fans of Eddie, let's go back and watch this match just to listen to him talk. The one thing that struck me was how young his voice sounded.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, he sounded very young on there. But it was a great opening match. It was a great sticking of the finisher, jumping off the top rope from the outside with a Hurricanrana. I thought that was a great finish, great execution there at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I liked, it was kind of weird, Ray, in those neon green tights, green and black or something like that. But overall, great match, great finish. I really like the finish of that.
Yeah.
Is that finish, the way you jump off the top rope and then into a Hurricanrana and then you stick it, that's hard to all do perfect, and he did.
Well, but that's the thing. When you got guys like a Ray facing Hoovy, or Hoovy facing Psychosis, or Eddie facing Ray, or you work so well together and so often together, you start to learn how each other moves, their move sets, how to do this, how to do that. And then I think that's really, not to bring up current products, is I think that's what the current product is missing, is you've got these guys that are not working. They're just getting thrown together in a tag team or whatever, or triple threat or whatever, and say, hey, go out there, go do something. And you don't get storytelling like this. This next match definitely needed some sort of storytelling, because it pitted Hugh Morris versus Wrath. Honestly, the only thing I really took, it was a two and a half minute match. The only thing I really took away from this is how athletic Morris was at this time.
I only had one note on it too, and good to see Hugh Morris get a win, because honestly, that didn't happen a whole lot on that trip. So.
Right. No, and especially with Wrath too, being Brian Clark there. I always like Brian Clark and Candy in there as a tag team with him as his mask character escapes me at the moment.
Oh shit.
It's a green.
Yes. Wrath and Mortis.
Mortis, there you go. Okay. And Vandenberg was there. Manager, but no, they were just so underrated too, because they're such big guys doing such great things, and they could tell the story, but they just got settled with those fucking characters, man.
Mm-hmm. So then we get Hogan coming out next
with Eric.
Promo. Right. Now it sucks that they cannot play the fucking Hendrix Hogan music.
They would later on, though.
No, they're not on Peacock. They didn't on the Peacock.
Oh, but it was on. Then I was on WWE Network, though, right?
I don't know. It's not on. It's not on now.
I understand that. That's
what pissed me off. Like, what, and the music they play, goddamn, it's terrible.
It's like, listen to Jericho's match and hear the walls break the walls down. It's like, what the fuck?
It ruins the whole thing. Like, because Hogan's strumming the goddamn belt because he's hearing the fucking Hendrix guitar riff. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound at all. It looks stupid. I hate it. Anyways, I'll move on. I'll get over it.
But that's the thing. We can't go in. We're going to be off on a tangent on this. But anyways, another guy that was off on a tangent was Hogan coming out here.
This was a weak promo. I thought.
I thought it was too long.
I thought it was just weak overall. It was kind of just like that old school heel shit. You know, calling Sting fans in the crowd cowards, and if any of you guys want a piece of me, come on, I'll fight. You know, and just
and
that. The,
yeah, and the little old lady at ringside.
Yeah, and then we finish up with her. Now that was the best part of the Hogan promo. That is fucking legendary, classic shit. It's something you always remember. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, when Hogan rolls out of the ring, as soon as the promo is over, they got the camera on him still, and Tony's talking. And of course, here is this fucking 90-year-old little old grandma leaning over that rail, just putting her finger right in Hogan's face and giving him hell. And he's just doing his classic heel shit right back to her, mm-hmm. getting in her face. And it went a minute. Like, I think it almost looked like that old lady was working, but she wasn't. She was just getting into it, I think.
I really thought she was, to be honest with you, because I've watched it multiple times and watched it live. And I'm like, it's got to be a work. It's got to be a work. It can't be a shoot because it just looks too obvious.
I don't know. Whatever it is. And fans, tell us on Twitter if Eric or anyone is talking. I'm sure they have, and I don't remember what he said, if it's a work or not,
about the little old lady.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive he said it was plant. A work.
Okay, well, if it was,
I don't think he said it was a plant. Maybe that's something. Hey, let's ask Eric on AFS next time.
I mean, if it was a plant, if it was an Eric plant, then that's the best thing WCW ever did.
Oh, by far, I mean,
because they never think of doing good shit like that.
Well, that got Hogan. Not that Hogan needed help getting over, but that heel character. No,
it was just good. It was just good shit, and it was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just. Oh my God! Both of them sold it well. I loved it. It was so hilarious. Great way to go to commercial with mm-hmm. Tony. Like what? You know.
We're terribly out of time.
No, he's like Hulk Hogan, a despicable human being, getting in the face of a little old lady. Like
and then that. They fade to black and go to commercial. But when we come back from commercial, we're going to have a match. Honestly, man.
You know what my note on this match is? Don't care then, don't care now.
Well, but see, this is the thing. And I want your honest opinion on this because maybe this is something I can ask Eric too later on, but. Well, first and foremost, Prince Iaukea has kind of like grown on me as far as his watching his stuff.
Okay.
But hold on. There's that explanation.
He grows on me like fungus.
Yeah. Well, never mind. I'm not going to say that. But it all depends on what he, who he works with. You get Yuji Nagata, who's a legend in Japan.
I definitely like Yuji Nagata. There's just nothing to the match. It's cold as hell.
But
I hate Prince Iaukea. I really do. He has go away heat with me. Always did.
But see, my thing, two things. One, does Prince Iaukea get himself over because of this match, or does Nagata get him over? Get him over as far as Iaukea, or do you think even Iaukea gets over?
No, Iaukea never got over.
Okay. Secondly, why don't you think Nagata ever really got a decent sized push with WCW? Was it just you think there was like a language barrier still?
Well,
even though he had Sonny Ono.
Yeah. I just think that first of all, I think he was just coming over and doing spots. I don't think he was really working full time. I think he would come over for a month or two and then go back over.
Yeah, he'd do a couple runs here.
Yeah.
And then he might have even done some recording as far as like Saturday night or whatever.
I'm guessing he was going over there on some type of deal with Eric had with their company. And so it wasn't a long-term plan, probably.
Well, they had that working relationship with New Japan still, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you take one guy, we'll take one of your guys and go on and so forth. But
Prince Iaukea, please.
But one group of people, we're not going to have them take
my wife, night. Please.
No, well, yeah, right. Somebody that we don't want them to take is the Nitro girls coming out in between these matches.
Thank God Frank's not here to shit on him.
Okay, so I got shit on this week by good friend of the show, Mike Kolb, saying that I basically put out a tweet saying you can put on a tweet at @_ringsiderant saying that am I the only one that thinks that not Lethal Weapon, what's the hell the other one?
Die Hard,
there you go. That Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
It's not.
See, there's a difference. It's a holiday movie.
It's based during Christmas time period. That if you're gonna say that's a Christmas movie, then so is Batman Returns
and Gremlins.
And Gremlins and all that shit. Those are not Christmas movies. Like, okay, if you're going to say Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then you better sit your ass down with your fucking family on Christmas Eve and fucking watch Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Do it. I challenge you.
So they get go Mike Kolb, Sean Jones. I think the only one that really came to my rescue was the gimmick attorney Michael Dawkins saying that he agreed with me. So
we'll see. Now we've got legal behind us. So see, disagree with us, motherfuckers.
And another and a fellow bald man. So hey.
I'll shave my head in solidarity.
There you go. Well, whatever it takes to focus off of the never mind. Anyway, so next match is
Faces of Fear, man.
It's Harlem Heat and Faces of Fear. I love
some Faces of Fear and Harlem Heat.
Dude, this was a knockout, dragout fight. And two of the better tag teams in the company, I think. Manga Barbarian, Faces of Fear, terribly underrated.
I would love to see these four men walk into the most crowded bar right now in any state and see if they could just beat. If there was any bar full of men that could beat those four, because I doubt there is.
Oh, I'm sure there's some bar out in like Wyoming or South Dakota that have these big, ginormous white dudes.
Well, I'm to the belief that I think Ming could do it by himself. So then, if you give him the other three, then it's not even going to be.
Well, I would just send Ming and Barbarian in there. They would clean house right off the bat.
But yeah, and what was cool about this match, Harlem Heat in the all blue. With Jackie in the all blue leather. It was kind of a cool presentation with them. They didn't wear that all blue look a lot. And I liked it. I thought it looked pretty cool.
No, and even though Harlem Heat went over on Mangum Barbarian in a very short match, I think.
Yeah. Decent finish, though. Decent finish to it.
The side
overall, kick, yeah. Overall, I really liked the match. You know, I thought it was good. Good mid-show filler. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, and Mangum Barbarian still got their shit in, even though it was kind of after the match with a tug of death grip with Mang. But
yeah,
it was what it was, man. When you have a three-hour TV show, you're not going to have 10-minute matches. You're going to have these types of matches four and a half, 5 minutes, just so you have enough time for everybody else, you know? The one thing I really did, like you said, you mentioned Jackie, where you saw Sister Sherry as well with Harlem Heat. Who'd you prefer with them? Do you like Sherry or Jackie more?
With Harlem Heat?
With Harlem Heat.
Oh, Sherry. You would ask me, pretty much put anyone besides Sherry, I'll take Sherry, other than Bret Hart. Bret Hart was their manager. I'd have to pick him, but other than that, I'm going Sherry.
Can you imagine Bret Hart as the manager of Harlem Heat?
You know, I got me these big gentlemen here, and
I just would want to see
kicking a lot of butt.
I just want to see him. I want to see Bret Hart do a Harlem sidekick, and a harder Rooney.
Yeah, have you ever seen me do my Hitman a Rooney?
There you go.
It's fucking great.
He'd probably like break something, but anyways.
I think he did a Hitman a Rooney when he fell off his bike with it. Go ahead.
That too. Well, one guy that we really, I hope he falls off his bike several times is Disco Inferno.
Oh, I was wondering who you was going to throw under the bus there.
Dude, I threw him under the bike, but it's beside the point. But I don't get this. Disco Inferno to me is one of the most annoying people I've ever had to watch, had to listen to. Everybody says Jeff Jarrett is the human channel changer. Disco Inferno is my channel changer. Ever I see him, I either hit forward or I just 12 times fast as Justin dances and tries to screw me up. But I just never got his character. Oh, Disco Inferno, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it got old pretty damn quick.
He was like a disco dance.
Disco Inferno is like what would happen if Ray Romano had a baby with Kermit the Frog.
Well, the match itself was a squash. I mean,
well, it's 2.5 minutes. What do you expect?
Yeah, that's about all, you know. And then here comes Gene with JJ, and JJ calls Eric a little toad.
Mm-hmm.
And they get all fired up about, you know, Eric's got to fight Larry and all that shit. Is that what it was?
Yeah. And you had JJ. You mentioned JJ came out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's who called Eric a little toad.
Mm.
You know what? I've got a little toad.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Okay.
Sixth match.
They officially signed that match for Bischoff and Zbyszko.
We have set up Starrcade, and we've got two more weeks to.
So they officially air quotes officially sign it, but we can move on to this next match real quick. Because I really want to. Let's get to the main event. We'll just go over the first these next few matches here because I really want to talk about this main event a little bit. We're going to have Ultimo Dragon defeat Psychosis. Pretty much your typical cruiserweight match, which is fine.
Ultimo Dragon in his classic teal getup.
Yeah.
And Psychosis and his Psychosis shit. And they had a good little match. And, you know, nothing wrong with it. Nothing great about it. It was, you know.
So we're going to have Chris Benoit taking on a member of Raven's flock, Kidman. So for those of you that haven't watched this feud, I liked it just because, you know, Benoit wants Raven. Raven's not going to face Benoit until he gets paid or whatever the case may be.
Oh,
so he's basically throws everybody in his little stable there against Benoit until it actually happens, which I think is brilliant, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a good little.
It was like that old school. It was like that old school.
Yeah. Booking. You got to get through all these people before you're allowed to fight.
Yeah.
Me.
Right. And because he would face, we'll see it in the coming weeks. You know, he'd face Saturn. He'd face Hammer. Yeah. He'd face Kidman. Who's the other dude?
Lodi.
No, Lodi. Yeah, he'd face Lodi too, but Riggs, Scotty Riggs.
You can never forget Lodi. Hey, by the way, before this match started, we had another Nitro Party video, and those are just fun to fucking go back and watch, man. And I think there was a Deport Eddie chant in the video.
I didn't hear it.
I think these college kids were like, Deport Eddie.
I think they're going to pick that up too.
Go back and check, fans, and tell me if I was hearing right. I even replayed it and tried to listen again, and I couldn't really for sure tell if that's what they were saying or not.
Right. But right before, but
please don't deport Eddie. We love Eddie.
Right. We'd see Raven actually hit the even flow DDT on Benoit after the match, and then Benoit would be put in the rings of Saturn. Like I said, we're building up the Starrcade. I got to start somewhere. And you know, maybe that slow build, but I think this is one of the key components of this, or this, excuse me, this Nitro, is this Benoit and the Flock feud.
Yeah. And honestly, this Flock thing gets overlooked a little bit too, because when we go back and think, you know, everybody on Twitter, when you talk about 96, 97, even 98, all anyone talks about in WCW is the NWO.
Sting,
you know, no one ever talks about like the Flock. And the Flock had its moment where it was a good heel kind of B group to go along with the NWO to kind of open shows and do mid stuff here like this. The Flock was an interesting angle there for a minute when they would all just sit around the ring and look, you know, bored. And then they started wrestling, and they actually did a slow build with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, instead of doing vignettes with them, they put them in the crowd each week. And, you know, and then they would talk to them, and then they would, one of them would wrestle. And then it kind of went on, and it kind of had some legs to it there for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys disagree, I could be wrong.
No, I know. I agree with you 100%, because I always like Raven's Flock. I don't know what it was, but when I was watching in 97 here, I was 13 years old. So I dug this so much, because it was that everybody at that age, and correct me if I'm we're about the same. We are the same age. You know, I was one of those kids in his flock. They wanted to fit in, but you couldn't. So you went to that other side to see how it was. Okay, this is cool shit. So you related to it.
It was almost like Raven's Flock was for the emo kids.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Before that was even used as a word.
But one feud that I really wish we didn't have to watch was this whole Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell feud.
Yeah.
7 minutes and
a lot of posing to start this match.
Yeah, right.
How long was the match? 7 minutes. I bet there was about three minutes of posing to start.
And you're lowballing it too. I'm thinking it's at least a 5 minute thing, and 2 minutes of wrestling or whatever the hell they decide to do it. But we saw Luger win by disqualification.
The great Charles Robinson working here with them. It was good to see him in there. But yeah. I mean, what do you say about Luger and Buff, man? Buff the stuff.
Yeah, well.
It is what it is.
Girls can't get enough.
But, I mean, 97, Luger was over. Obviously, he had just come off a world title run of, what, 2 weeks or a week or something.
Right.
But, and Buff actually had some decent heel heat.
Well, and he was a good promo. He was a good promo every once in a while too. And so he wasn't lacking the chops. It was just his in-ring shit was it was the drizzling shits.
Yeah.
But a couple guys that in-ring work wasn't the shits was DDP and Kurt Hennig, who is the main event of this Nitro.
It's kind of cool to see these two in the main event together, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, honestly, Kurt hasn't main evented a lot. Like I don't think he ever main evented a pay-per-view for WWE. Not to my
I don't think so. He was involved with Flair when he was facing Savage at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think but
he wasn't in the main event.
In the main event. So I just think that it was, and DDP here obviously hadn't probably main evented a lot of Nitros at this time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it was kind of cool to put them in here. Two guys that I really like watching. By the way, this match is brought to you by Nintendo 64. Get in or get out. That's what they say.
I'll get out.
Apparently. Get in. Yeah. Hey, I love my Nintendo 64, bro.
I never had one.
Oh, God damn, man.
I had a GameCube.
The James Bond 007 game is the GOAT game of all time.
I'm 64?
No, ever.
Okay. I thought you just meant on 64. Like, no, I said, ever. I
and
played
the WCW,
it.
I had some WCW.
Revenge?
Versus NWO. Revenge. Yes, that was the best one. It was great.
Yeah, I played it at my friend. My friend had a 64. I had a GameCube. And
GameCube sucked. Would have a GameCube.
GameCube sucked. Anyways, so
just slapped your mom for getting your GameCube.
Yeah, well, Blame Santa Claus. So yeah, I'm healing up on Santa Claus.
Disappointing Christmas in RJ's life.
Yeah, no kidding.
God damn it, I wanted an N64. I got a fucking GameCube.
God damn it, I wanted a head full of hair. We know Henning would be associated with the NWO at this point. He's the U.S. champion. We'd see Rick Rude come down to the ring right as DDP lands a diamond cutter.
Rude pulls Pee Wee out of there.
Yeah. Just that heelish shit,
baby.
Yeah, just that heelish bullshit, that heelish shit, man. And then,
you get an NWO schmoz.
Well, you get douchebags like Vincent come down. Who would he ever do for anybody? And, you know, obviously at this
everybody's waiting for Sting, and Sting never comes out, and right. just ends up a big NWO ass kicking at the end of it.
Well, do you think at this time they're just playing it safe and just building, doing the whole slow build towards Starrcade? Yeah. Because that's going to be their moneymaker, man.
I think you want to give as less of Sting as you can right here, because what they've done is they've done a great job of putting him up in the rafters and not letting him talk for months, right? Like a long time, and a year pretty much. And so now this is the payoff. And so now you really shrink off, you know, his access to the fans by saying, hell, he won't even at the show tonight. We don't even know if he's, you know. And then you have to watch Starrcade, because you definitely want to see Sting wrestle, because he hasn't wrestled in a fucking year. Mm-hmm. You don't even know really what's going to happen.
So yeah, nobody knows. Yeah.
It just builds to the drama of Starrcade 97, which honestly, guys, I've said this before. We've talked about what the most anticipated pay-per-views were. We talked about WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 6. Mm-hmm. This Starrcade 97 was a very anticipated pay-per-view.
Well,
very,
I'd even go as far as, especially in this era, these few, you know, this, the month of November, the month of October, the fall, I should say, of fall and winter of 97 was, their pay-per-views had so much build to it. Halloween Havoc had a big build to it. Fall Brawl, Starrcade here, Christ, man, you're not gonna have like pay-per-views like this ever again, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not, for sure. And definitely, you know, it was just so different back then, because people actually had to fucking spend money on it. Like, you had to say, okay, I'm gonna spend $30 to $50 on this.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
I think WCW is a little bit cheaper.
Just,
yeah,
now you just have the Peacock for $10 a month, and you know, it doesn't cost you a lot to watch the pay-per-views.
Right.
But back then, $30 to $50 in 1997 was a little, pretty good chunk of change. My parents were like, fuck you, we ain't paying for it.
Yeah, right.
So I had to go to my friends.
My parents were the same way. That's why we started back once we get more towards 98, 99, friends of mine, there's a group of us, probably about five or six, that would all pitch in and buy the pay-per-view, whether it be WCW or WWE.
Yeah.
And
once I got in junior high, this was like 97, 98.
Yeah.
Me and my buddies, you know, we would all get together each Sunday and pitch in and watch it. So yeah, we did that too. But before that, my parents were like, fuck you, we ain't paying for that.
Yeah.
That was our struggle back then, young fans. We didn't have the Peacock or the WWE Network. We had to beg our parents like fucking beggars on the street to pay $30, $40 for WrestleMania.
Well, Christ, you get towards early 2000s, mid-2000s, you're talking, Christ, Big Four, you're talking at least $50 for those, and WrestleMania would probably be about $60 to $70 easily. And now it
was crazy,
whatever,
especially because back then, like around 97, 98, they realized, hey, we got a bunch of people buying these, so the prices started to go up.
Well, but that's business, supply and demand. You know, you get more people watching, you want to make more money, you don't want to make the same amount of money, but. One guy that makes a shit ton of money because he's that damn good is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the rink to him right now.
If you're looking for ways to skip the trip to the post office and dodge all the hectic holiday shopping traffic, why not save time and money with Stamps.com? Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services all year long. It makes sense, especially if you're a business that sends more mail and packages during the holiday season. Whether you're selling online or running an office or a side hustle, Stamps.com can save you so much time, money, and stress during these holidays. You can access all the post office and UPS shipping services you need without taking that trip. And you can also get discounts you cannot find anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. Head over right now to Stamps.com and use the promo code when you sign up, P-O-D, for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code P-O-D. Thanks to our friends over at Stamps.com.
It's listener questions.
All right, Justin, it is time for listener questions this week. We have one person, the man, the myth, the money legend. Money Mike himself has three questions for us this week because he was pretty much the only one that wanted to know anything.
I feel like, you know what? Here's what we're going to do.
You think this is, yeah.
Every time, each week, when you do what you just did, introduce his dumb ass and say, here's Money Mike with Money Mike's questions. You know, it's every week. It is like we can trust it like the sun's going to come up in the morning.
Well, depending on, yeah.
I think Money Mike needs his own theme music, and I think it just needs to be the first 3 seconds of Ted DiBiase's music. Every time, so when you introduce Money Mike's questions, just hit the money, 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 money. Everybody's got money. A price. But we're not into music yet.
Yeah, so I would say we're not there yet.
What he's got.
So his first question is, at this point in 1997, could each of you already see the momentum start shifting in favor of WWF?
Yes.
Now, absolutely. Why do you say that? Just because of the booking here in WCW?
No. Well, WCW to me was still healthy, and especially now that Brett was going over there, I was very interested in WCW. But I could tell with how the WWE was stone cold, man, I knew that was rolling. Because I saw it in my hometown of Winchester, fucking Ohio, in the sticks. I saw stone cold shirts in my junior high. Yeah. I knew that they were going places, and I could really around August, September, October, I could start to feel that shift of it's starting to crank up a little bit here.
Well, they're starting to push, like you said, guys like Stone Cold, guys like The Rock, guys like Triple H, Kane, Undertaker.
Yeah, the Kane thing was a big thing in the fall of 97. Yeah.
Mankind, that was a big thing. Shamrock. New Age Outlaws. So they were basically, I think they had the better roster at this point because that could actually get them to that next level.
It was a different roster. And here's the thing, you could have a different roster because you only needed to fill 2 hours. They had to fill three. Mm-hmm. So WCW was really, they had a big, huge roster, a lot of cruiserweights and all that. Just because they were trying to fill 3 hours where WWE was trying to fill two. But I feel like at this time, WWE was getting their stars over better because mm-hmm. there was more focused time on them.
Yeah. No, I get it. And that was blatantly obvious looking at it now. So his second question is, which of these programs had better long-term storytelling and why? Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart or the Crow Sting NWO feud?
Crow Sting NWO feud. I just think it was, here's the thing. I never thought Shawn and Bret was a prolonged feud in WWE. It was always kind of burning in the background, but it was never like the head feud. Even going into their WrestleMania 12 match, it was like, okay, we're going to do this babyface thing for like 2 months, maybe a month leading into it, talk about it. And then once it was over, that feud was done.
Yeah. Right? No, I get that, but I was just trying to see it on the Sting NWO feud of it, because now that I look at it, I'm like, the NWO is always going to last so long. And when you put everybody and their fucking mother into the NWO, sooner or later, it's going to blow up. And in 97, if you're talking Crow Sting in 97, 98, okay, maybe that would work, but you get anywhere past that, you're screwed, man. You got to go.
I would take the Brett Austin angle over Sting and NWO.
That's a bigger storyline there, yeah, because that involves the whole Hart family. Between like the whole Canadian Stampede pay-per-view, you had the whole.
I just don't feel like the Shawn Brett rivalry was almost better in real life than it was on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that, and I think that's justified. So I would say Shawn and Razor would be a good one too. But at this point, you know, in 97, it wouldn't have made any difference because they're different. They're on different shows, but even you go back to 94 and 85, that would have been one of the hot feuds there. You go Razor and Shawn and Bret and Owen. So,
yeah.
But his last question is, if you could remove one match from this card and replace it in a different angle match or segment, which would you choose and why? So I am going to take out the Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell match and put in a 6-minute dance rendition for the Nitro Girls.
Well, I would take out Ayakea and Yuji Nagata, and I would put in Yuji Nagata and Chris Jericho.
Okay, that makes sense. Answer? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, that does, because you're rebooking it. I just wanted to give a answer to poke it, Frank.
I mean, actually, if I could rebook it completely, I would take the Faces of Fear and Harlem Heat match and put it later in the card.
More towards main event. Buff. Yeah.
I would turn that Buff and Luger match. I think the card needs another tag team match. There was one on there. I would try to find another tag team match somewhere. Like,
yeah, no, that makes sense, because it was only that one then. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for those questions, Money Mike. Keep them coming. And if you ever want to be a part of the show, you can always tweet at us at @_ringsiderant, at JD2040. Give us your questions. We'll get them answered on that week's episode. If I remember, if I forgot, I apologize. So maybe that's why Amy didn't send any questions in this week, because I pissed her off.
She said, forgot. Fuck you, RJ. Yeah,
pretty well. Story of my life.
She is from Kentucky. She probably said like, fuck you, RJ.
Yeah, probably. Get that accent in there.
That sounded more like, I think that sounded more like Tiger King than Amy, but go ahead.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So
I'm never gonna financially recover from this in my life.
You ain't gonna do shit. Christ checks. All right. So one thing that we've looked forward to every week, and Amy makes it fun because she always likes poking fun of our list, is wrestling with music. So without further ado, monkeys, hit the button.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin. So we got, I think we have two of the better ones in WCW of all time this week. If you want to introduce your one, and then I'll go to mine.
All right. Well, I'm going to give myself a self high five and say that I'm going to go with DDP. So RJ, let her rip, tater chip.
Self high five.
I like that part. All right. So it's just basically
Nirvana.
It's just basically a WCW ripoff of Nirvana.
But basically, that's what it's basically what it is. But
yeah. But his talking in it kind of did crack me up. Like he does a self high five. And then he goes, date, pay. And then what do you say?
Pay, pay. Too cool.
Too cool.
So that's not too gimmicky, right?
I like his music. But to me, I can't rank it real high.
It's a ripoff, I think. It's a ripoff of Nirvana. Yeah.
Amy's probably, she might hate us for this. I don't know her true feelings on DDP, but where would you put it?
Honestly, I would put it between Rick Rude at 18 and British Bulldog at 19. Are you thinking lower than that?
Yeah.
Are you thinking under?
I'd put it under Owen and in between Vader.
Okay. That was my second guess. That was going to be my second pick, is to put it down that far. I wanted to kind of be nice to him, but.
Not when he sees me at Starcade. Yeah, I'm sure. All right. So what did you pick for us this week, RJ, up here in our music category?
So I picked a theme that I think anybody could really put them on their playlist. Anybody could, and this is something that we'd hear later on in WWE as well. So without further ado, I present to you the Harlem Heat.
Here we go. Build it up, baby. Don't turn it off. I could listen to that all damn day.
Okay, I'll play it in the background.
I just love it. It's just, it fits the tech team so well. Somehow WCW fucking got something perfect for once. I'm not real sure how.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they did. I mean, this just is such unique to them. I don't know. Did Jimmy Hart do that?
I'd have to go back and look and try to do research, because
we should actually probably research who does our songs each week. But
at this time, I'm pretty sure Jimmy Hart did a lot of them though.
But yeah, I just love that. I love that. I love it. That's all I can say about it. And I think it can contend for the top 10. I mean, listen, you guys know in 1997 when Harlem Heat came out, or 98. And the fucking fans were raising the roof.
Yeah.
They were all fired up when they heard this song.
Dude,
and it's so cool how it starts out with that ice, ice. And then, it like builds up. Mm-hmm. It's just fucking perfect, bro. I love it.
Yeah.
How high do you think they can go, though?
I think they can go for me.
I was going to say top 10 originally. I just don't know where I would put them. You know what I mean?
I know where I'd put them. I just figured it out looking at the list.
Okay, where would you put them?
I am going to say that Harlem Heat should enter the top 10 right in there behind Dusty Rhodes and in front of the Four Horsemen at number 8.
I was thinking I was going to put him in front of Dusty.
I just love that America. But I can put this in front of Dusty just because this is their iconic music. That music for Dusty was only with him for a couple years. This is Harlem Heat. So I can agree with you. Let's put him in there 7.
Yeah, but that's the way... iconic. It does well for the team. It does well for and Booker T. Would, I mean, honestly, later on,
if you really want to look at it, if we're going there, you could probably put him in front of Jake Roberts. I don't think you can put him in front of Demolition.
Oh no, I don't think you'd be. I don't think he'd be top.
But
be
I think 5. You could. I think you could put him in front of Jake Roberts at 6.
Let's do that. We'll do that. I think that justifies it.
Because if they're going to go in front of Dusty, I think they can go in front of Jake.
Oh, I think so.
I love Jake's music too. But man, this just gets you going, man.
It gets you in the feels though, man. It really does. All right.
Well, hopefully we redeemed ourselves, Amy, by moving the Harlem Heat up there almost into the top 5.
So we are going to be... From going forward, Justin, we are going to be announcing the top 5 from now on. If you want the full list, I will start to put them in the show, in the show description. So if you want the full list of our Wrestling with Music, check out the show notes and they will be in there. Going forward, we'll just be announcing the top 5, or excuse me, top 10, excuse me, top 10 of what we have right now. Just so we don't take too much time listing, because we are at what, 27 right now, Justin, and it's only gonna, it's gonna get a hell of a lot bigger.
28 now. So yeah,
28.
We just added 2 more, so we're at 28.
Oh, my list got all screwed up then. Yeah, well,
we got to have an even number, RJ. We do 2 every week. Now, I know you got Buffalo math going on up there.
What the hell? Oh, I have 2. I have 226s. That's why I'm an idiot.
All slapdick math going on up in Buffalo. This is why the Bills lost to the Jaguars and Pittsburgh, because they're doing Buffalo math.
You know what? Kiss my ass. Jesus Christ. So what are we doing next week, Justin?
I guess we're doing December 8th of 1997 Nitro.
I figured I'd let you tell them, even though that I did have the schedule in front of me.
Now that we know what we're doing, I know what our next show is.
Or do you?
It's not hard to figure out.
Yeah, right.
I can't wait to do some thunders with this new type of focus on our show.
Yeah.
It'll allow us to do some thunders, which we've never done on here before.
Yeah. But with that being said, we have our ranter of the week. So before we send it over to them, make sure you follow us across the shows through medias on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. He is at JD2040. Or you could simply, it's easy now, Justin. You don't have to memorize it. You can simply go to our website now. We are at CastPie, that's CASTPIE.com/ringsiderant. All the links will be right there. It'll be in the show notes. Check it out. You have the merchandise there. You have all of the platforms we're on, all the social medias we're on. It's all right there. So check that out. That's castbuy.com/ringsiderant. That is in the show notes as well. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get this podcast. Appreciate you guys listening this week. Make sure you tune in next week. Get your questions in.
I don't want to listen to Justin again next week complaining that Money Mike is the only person to submit questions. Get in, get early. Make sure you follow myself.
Get in, get out. Nintendo 64.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You bring it
in. Get in, get out. Hey, honestly, thank you guys for listening. We certainly appreciate it. We think you're going to like this kind of new snapshot of months that we're doing here. And we hope to get some fan interaction, do some watch-alongs with you guys on some of these pay-per-views at the end of each month. And we're going to have, a contest for that. Or we do have a contest going on.
Yeah, if you listen starting this week, so you had to pay attention this week. If you write down and remember Justin and my Wrestling With Music entries this week, next week, and the third week, write them down. And then after the third episode of the month, you DM to myself, DM them to Justin, and whoever's the first to answer correctly all three sets of themes.
Criteria. Yeah.
Whatever. Will be the guest on that last episode and do a watch along of their desired match from that pay-per-view, whatever that may be. This month will be Starrcade 97. Next month will be different and going forward as well. So this is going to be a continuing thing where we want to get the interaction with you guys. For those of you that listen every week, jot down these themes or put them in your notes on your phone or whatever to remember them. And then you submit them to us, either one of us, it doesn't matter. And first come, first serve. And you'll be our special guest on that episode.
That's right. So I'm looking forward to it. I really looking forward to talking to some of you people that listen to the show for the first time, and that'll be awesome to have you on here with us. So yeah, I'm excited, and go Bengals, and I'll be there in the jungle Sunday. So let's roll. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go. Everyone Bills.
Everyone have a great Friday. God damn it. Cause you know what? It's fucking Friday.
And go Bills Mafia, Mr. Anthony Pyrus. I hope you cry, and let's send it over to our ranter of the week, Mr. Zoel Lopez.
Lopez.
What's going on, Ranters Nation? My name is Zoel Lopez, and I'm here to rant about the December 1st, 1997 episode of WCW Monday Nitro. And the thing I want to take away from this episode to rant about is the sweet, sweet grandma in the front row that went toe-to-toe with the immortal Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And what do we have to do to get her into the WWE Hall of Fame? Think about it. Out of the many, many years that Hulk Hogan has been in the business, we have yet to see a female go quite toe-to-toe with Hulk Hogan. She was standing up for her probably sugar daddy Sting. She was out there taking swipes to where Hogan was cowering down. Even the chief of security, Doug Dillinger, there on the side, didn't want no piece of those haymakers that sweet, sweet grandma was throwing there at Hulk Hogan on the sidelines. And that's what I'm ranting about today on this December 1st, 1997 edition of WCW Monday Nitro.